Well, for the first time, the budget is approaching $41 billion in size, and we're using some of the additional revenue this year to set some priorities, particularly around increasing a number of local aid accounts to our cities and towns. In the smaller communities, we'll be happy to see things like a bump in the regional school transportation account and charter school reimbursements and homeless student transportation and an increase in Chapter 70 as well. And then we're also continuing our investments in substance abuse accounts. It continues to be a challenge in our communities and statewide, dealing with the opioid crisis and trafficking, drug trafficking, and so forth. So there's additional funds for five new recovery centers. We're stepping up our investments in treatment and support throughout our communities on that, as well as some additional investments in mental health services. And another educational account that we're looking at increasing resources for is early education. Studies have shown that investment in early education before formal schooling begins pays off in better outcomes as a student goes through their educational career, sets them on a better path in life. So we're making some new investments in that field as well. So I think it's a pretty responsible budget. It's balanced. We're not looking at some of the mid-budget process reductions I think we've seen the last 2 years. We're meeting our benchmarks for revenue coming in, and I think we presented a well-balanced, responsible budget to the members for their consideration.
Governor Baker, again, this budget cycle put in a proposal to shift people off of mass health and into private insurance, and that was a proposal that I take it was again rejected by your committee.
This is the second time that Governor Baker has proposed this shift away from mass health coverage to the healthcare connector system. We've taken a very serious look at it, both in what the potential cost savings would be, as well as the coverage that would be available to people. And we found that this would not be a cost-effective move to make. We think that the coverage would not be comparable as the governor had hoped that it would be, and we felt that ultimately it would cost the Commonwealth more in the disruption of insurance coverage for a number of people. I mean, there's no question that MassHealth continues to be a significant and challenging part of our budget. It now accounts for 41% of the state budget, and both the House and Senate are looking at healthcare cost containment bills. The House will probably take up a bill sometime in May. The Senate has already taken some action. And then we hope to control some of the costs in prescription drug prices and other things that drive our healthcare inflation in Massachusetts, which affects the budget. But we didn't feel that this was a suitable item to include in this year's budget.
What did the House Ways and Means Committee recommend as far as funding for the regional transit authorities around the state? The governor had recommended level funding, I believe a total of $80 million. The reaction to that from the Pioneer Valley Transit Authority was a fair increase and a fairly high level of service reductions.
So the House Ways and Means budget is right about the same as the governor on that. We are proposing essentially level funding for the RTAs, regional transit authorities, at this point. During the budget debate, we will be considering amendments that would increase that level of funding. And the regional transit authorities around the state are all facing potential service reductions and fare increases to deal with that. I happen to be a supporter of additional funding for regional transit authorities. I have two in my district, the PVTA and also the Franklin County Regional Transit Authority. So we'll be considering funding about increases for regional transit authorities as we go through the budget debate.
Was any thought given during the budget process to the possible impact that the ballot questions on taxes could have on the state budget if those pass in November? I'm talking about the question that would cut the state income tax rate, as well as the question that would raise that would put a surcharge on incomes over $1 million, the so-called millionaire's tax.
So this budget coming out of Ways and Means does not consider the potential approval or defeat by the voters in November of any of the fiscal-related ballot questions, reduction in sales tax, the fair share amendment, so-called millionaire's tax, and there are some other issues as well, such as an increase in minimum wage, paid family leave, which, if they pass, could have some impact on the state budget as well. We decided to present a budget with the facts as we know them today and what the estimated revenue we're going to be receiving is. That is in agreement between the House, Senate, and the governor and through our consensus revenue process that we went through beginning in December. Should any of those ballot questions pass in November, and some of them would have an impact for the second half of the fiscal year 19 that we're planning right now, we would have to revisit this budget and the decisions that both the House and Senate make over the coming weeks in approving a FY19 budget. But for now, we're going to assume status quo. We'll definitely have to revisit any new fiscal circumstances that might happen after the election.